Father, I come just now. Lord, you are most wonderful in every way. Lord, the more I read, the more I pray, the more I see that I'm worthless, I'm a wretch, that I do not measure up. And Lord, I need to search my own life. Lord, I'm constantly preaching to others, but Lord, I must not never forget to accept the preaching for myself. And Lord, I pray that the Word of God will change me today. Lord, I want revival. I want all that you have. But Lord, if we never see a week of meeting, God, we have today. Lord, I pray that I might be able to make a difference today for you. Lord, I pray that this church might be able to make a difference today for you in some way, because you're worthy. You're worth it. And Lord, I thank you for it all. Please touch me fresh. Give me wisdom. Lord, give me a clear mind. May the Word of God have free course. And we'll thank you with all of it, Father, all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Turn to Jude, if you would. We'll start there. Jude chapter 1. Of course, it's only chapter there. When we think about Mother's Day and we honor mothers, and I sure honor my mom, this is the first time that I ever remember, even since I was a little feller, I either made something or bought something for my mother. And it's a difficult day, difficult day. I missed my mother. David Nix always teases me about a line from an old movie. He'll tell me, I miss my mother. And you can't never get over that. But I thought of the things that we take time for. We take time for mothers. We take time for fathers on Father's Day. And we're supposed to take the same time for the Lord on the Lord's Day. But I'm just thankful for all these things. But I'm thankful for what has been handed down to me. For weeks, we've been thinking about not necessarily Mother's Day, but we've been thinking about this morning's message. We've been for days. I'm not one that prepares messages weeks and months ahead of time. That's not the way I do things. But when Scripture speaks to us, we need to pay attention. As I say, we're living in a hard day. We're living in a rough time. As I preached last Sunday on the importance of the church, I don't know that there's a greater need for us to be active for the Lord, for us to stand for the Lord, for us to be faithful. We're living in the last days. That's not just something that's being said. Preachers have preached it for years. And then there are those who scoff and say, where is the promise of his coming? Well, the promise is still there. He's still coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. And we can see things unwrapping itself, you might say, as we get to see the present that's getting ready to be provided by the Lord Jesus coming. But there's some needs. So let's look here at Jude, verse 3. And we're going to ask a question here in just a moment. But here in Jude chapter 3, or chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That cry, Jude is kind of rehearsing. Peter talks about what was going to come. Jude tells us it's already here, and it's here today that we need to contend for the faith today. Look around you. Do you feel a need to contend for the faith? Do you feel a need to stand and hold and stand your ground and not necessarily fight physically, but fight? Our battles are not flesh and blood, but are spiritual, against wickedness in high places and the things that we see going on. Do you not see the need to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Do you see that need? Look at the world and see what's happening. To see the publicity of people things are so bad that Hollywood is upset with Hollywood. That's how bad things are, that some of the people that's made some of the filthiest scenes in TV are saying, y'all's too bad. We're going to go over here where we're conservative. Have you watched your news? These woke, where they're again the woke people. The mothers are awake and them are what? I don't know who's who. Huh? But that's where we're at. Somebody's seeing a need for something. But they're still not turning to Christ. But even the world is seeing that things is getting ungodly. And we that are in the church house, we that name the name of Christ and say that we're saved, then surely we ought to be contending for the faith. We ought to be standing our ground for others. I look at these babies I don't go to you to hold your child. I love your children. I love to fool with the children and play and kid and poke and have fun and do all that with the kids. I enjoy the kids, but they are so important. The grandkids, I love my grandkids, and I would like to have them all the time. I don't want to take them back to their parents. I would like to have them all day, every day. I would never get tired of them. I get tired of the kids, but I don't get tired of the grandkids. But they're important. And the love that we have for the young ones. We're working downstairs trying to give them, pass something along with these children. But it's got to start back at the house. And I'm glad there were some things handed down to me that in my home, in my family, that there's been a contention for the faith, not in contention, but contending for the faith, I should say, as long as I can remember. And that's something that we must keep on going. But I'm afraid that people are losing the value. They're losing the incentive, maybe, or they're losing the importance of how important it is to keep things going in their own home. But Jude said we ought to contend for the faith. But then I look over here in Timothy, and I want you to look here in 2 Timothy, if you would. If we bring something maybe to light, things that we already know. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 5 and 6. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says something great, and I would hope that it is said about all of us. If not, it can be. Or at least it should change, and especially you young parents got these little ones, your first ones, you need to take heed this morning. Some of them's getting up here pretty quick. Can you? How old is y'all's now, Aaliyah? How?
13 months.
Wait a minute, you just had her last month. How can that happen? You just had her last month. She's going to be walking, being your Tara in the next few weeks. Huh? And she's going to be, Matthew beat the tears out of her is all I can tell you. Listen to me this morning. Listen, it's going to be, they're going to be grown before you know it. My grandchildren are becoming teenagers. Huh? I ain't old enough to have teenage grandchildren. I'm still a kid. I am in my mind until I go to move, and then I'm a super senior saint. Huh? Everything passes by. But there ought to be something that we're leaving behind this morning. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, Paul told Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," And look where it started, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also." Paul said, what I see inside of you didn't start with you, but it was handed down by Mama and your mama. Now, we got Papas and Mamas in here this morning, and it's Mother's Day, and that should be number one on our list, that when our children or our grandchildren rise up, that they do more than just call you blessed, as it is in Proverbs, but they say, look what's been handed down to me because of Mom and because of Grandma. And that, if it's never happened nowhere but in your generation, then you make sure that it continues in your generation. It has to be done. Why? Because Jude says that we ought to contend for the faith. But that generation is done gone, so who is it for now? It's for us to contend for the faith, and it's got to be handed down. Listen, there is something to the nurturing of a mother and a grandmother that is above everything. There is something true to that. And if you didn't have it, then learn how to do it yourself to give it on down the line. You understand? It's important. Listen, I've done told you, and I gladly and proudly and thankfully say again, my mother was not perfect. She worried. If there was ever one of the greatest things she ever did was worry, because she loved us so much, and she worried about if we was cold, and worried if we was hot, and worried if we was hungry, and worried if we had enough, and she wanted to give everything she could, and I call it worry, but for her it was just concern is what it was, about every situation. Your nose running, go see a doctor, you need this, you hurt, listen, you need to lose weight, Mark. You're getting fat. Can I fix you something to eat? That was all in the same sentence. That's concern. But can I tell you some of my fondest memories? Huh? I used to have trouble with my legs when I was little, and they would ache. I reckon growing pains, I reckon, are from my legs always been tired, carrying around a fat man. I don't know what the problem is, but she would hold me in a rocking chair, and I was a good size. I don't know, old enough I can remember this. And she would rock me and sing to me, but she didn't sing some song off the radio. She would sing "Heavenly Sunlight," "Glory Divine." She would sing to me, and my mommy couldn't sing. She tried. God love her. She couldn't sing very good, but I can remember something instilled. So every time we sing "Heavenly Sunlight," you know who I think about first is my mommy, because there was something handed down. Can I tell you, it's got to be. Timothy had it handed down from his mother, but grandmother too. Can I tell you that my mama Frieda, some of my wonderful memories of my mama is they called on her to pray there at the church house, and she was praying. And she had prayed for the service, but then she started naming off the ones that wasn't in church. The last prayer I ever heard her pray, she was praying for the ones that wasn't serving God. And heaven just kind of opened, and I believe the Lord heard the prayer. What I'm telling you, these are things that ought to be handed down. And if they're not being handed down, stop what you're doing and hand it down now, because it needs to be. We need to be contending for the faith. There's nothing more important than that. We've got to hand it down. You say, well, I don't sing and I don't do. Hey, have they caught you reading your Bible? Huh? Huh? When I preached Mommy's funeral, I used her Bible. That's what I used. And when I went to it, it said, Rick, I look at you. I showed you in her Bible. It says Rick Childers preached this when he was at Kings Creek. And the Mark Sewer Bible. And who preached? And Mark preached this in revival. And in the back, verses that meant this. And verses that would help her with this. And verses that would, it was Mark Sewer Bible. I wouldn't trade that for nothing. It was handed down. And when you look at my Bible, somewhere somebody will take my Bible and look through it, and it's marked over. But can I tell you where I learned it at? I learned it by what was handed down to me. Are you listening to me this morning? But it was more than just an unseen faith. Because if you turn over there and read in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, Second Timothy chapter 3, let's look at verse 14 and 15. It says, but continue thou on the things. Paul's still writing to Timothy. He says, but continue thou. He's telling us to continue ourselves. Are you listening to me? Paul's telling Timothy, God's telling us to continue, thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you, we're supposed to continue those things which we've been shown. You say, well, I wasn't shown that as a kid. Then start now with your children. You're never too old to tell them. Never too old. But you're going to have to choose to do it. I know everybody wasn't given the opportunity I was given. I know that. But can I tell you, the shame is I abused the opportunity that I was given. I abused the opportunity that I was shown. I didn't go whole hog when I was growing up. I had to wait. I had to wait because of the mentality of society and even worldly church members that tell you you need to sow your wild oats first and then dedicate yourself to God. That's really stupid. That's really stupid. You don't get all your sinning done and live for God. You live for God and don't have to worry about sinning. We got it backwards. But we ought to take advantage of the opportunity that we have. To teach, to show. I have a joy of working in the garden. That's my peace and relaxation. And I love it when the grandkids come over, and even Jason and Rachel's kids will come over. And I can be a pawpaw to them for a little bit maybe, but I don't just plant the garden and say, you do this. Why do you plant it? And what happens to the seed? And then I can relate it. I plant that seed, and then it'll germinate and come forth life. And then that part dies, and I show them the scripture. And little Madison said, went home and told Ray, said, how come the preacher don't teach us downstairs? She learned something. God planted the garden. She was tickled to death. But I'm telling you, we got to hand it down. Are you listening to me? And we hand down the Holy Spirit. The most important thing is to make sure your children are saved. And Paul told Timothy to continue in these things that you've been assured of, that from a child you have learnt the Holy Scriptures that's made thee wise unto salvation. You've got one job as a mom and a dad, and that's to get your children saved. That's your main job. Nothing else matters. And then after that, to help them get your grandchildren saved. That's your main job. But there's a problem. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. One verse of scripture on here. Verse 3 is all we want to look at now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that the day shall not come. What day? Let no man deceive you, but there's a day coming. Let's just start right there and tell you, let no man deceive you this morning, but there's a day coming that Jesus Christ is coming again. Whether you realize it, whether you want to believe it, whether you think it's a tale, whether you think it's far off, or whether you think it's near, the truth is that Jesus Christ is coming in the rapture. He's coming for His saints, and those that are saved will vanish in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And those who have heard the gospel and are left have no hope. We listened to it in Sunday school this morning. Rick, my mind, I was listening. But they was a list of people that we've been meeting every night. I've been praying over every night. And there was a list of them. And there was some. I said, well, I don't know if they really know the gospel. I tried to tell them. I started looking down the lost list. And I said, oh, my soul. Not only will they go to hell, but they will suffer the famine, and they will suffer the pestilence, and they will suffer the destruction and the death and the hunger and the starvation. They're going to suffer that too. And I said, and I couldn't help but think of the people, maybe even you this morning, if you're lost without God, when Christ comes, you'll have no hope. Do you hear me this morning? Your children, your grandchildren. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It's not a game. Christ is coming. He's coming. You need to be ready. But they need to be ready. And I believe it's important that we make sure they know. Well, let's look on. It says here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you. Don't be deceived by the date setters. Don't be deceived by John Hagee and some of these that's on the TV preaching about the blood moons. Oh, listen, there ain't no sign for Christ to come other than He's coming that quick and it'll be a rapture. You need to listen this morning. There are no signs. There's no signs for the rapture. He said, I'm coming again, and it might happen at any second. Huh? Are you listening to me? Don't be deceived. Huh? Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. What we want to look at is that middle phrase. Except there come a falling away first. Except there come a falling away first. Now, I've read a lot in the last while about the theologians and what they think. Some of them seem to think it's going to be a very in-depth falling away of resulting into demonism and all this filthy stuff like that. And I said, well, we see that. We see that. But then I got to looking, you know, it ain't going to be the big stuff until the little stuff's got to happen too. The falling away is just a falling away. There's going to be a departure. Now, I want you to listen this morning. Well, now we give you a choice. That falling away. My title this morning, very quickly, is this. Are you going to be one? Are you going to be one? Are you going to be one? What? Well, there's two choices we've done preach to you this morning. Are you going to be one that falls away? Or are you going to be one that passes the faith along? Are you going to be one? You will be one or the other. Which one will you be this morning? Are you going to be one? Sure, you'll be one. Are you going to be the one that falls away? Or are you going to be a one that passes the faith along? Let's look here just for a minute. Everybody okay? When I look at what the word fall means, huh? Now, listen carefully now, because you have to answer this. I can't answer it for you. Huh? Falling is the start. Is falling is never on purpose. Did you know that? Falling is never on purpose. Never. The other day I was out there in my garden, and Cheryl was out there with me. She turned around, and I'm laying flat. And she said, what happened? Well, duh, I fell. Fell over. Huh? She said, you okay? I said, no. No. A 280-pound man can't be okay if he falls over. Okay? Something's got to give. All right? I fell and I started getting up. She said, "You're going to be all right." I said, "I'll be all right, but not right now." Not right now. We laughed. We thought it was funny. But I didn't go out there and said, "I'm going out there just soon I get up there, I'm going to fall." I didn't. No. No one thinks about falling. Falling's never on purpose. Talk to Moody. Maybe she'll listen today. Shane, she fell off the clothesline hill. And rolled all the way down to the bottom. Oh, I love to watch it. You know, we do that when people fall. You know, we laugh. Don't we? Don't we laugh? But can I tell you, it's not funny to the ones falling. You know, it's never funny to the ones falling. Because there's injuries that you may sustain that you don't see right away. There's injuries that can happen on the inside that no one really sees all at once. Are you hearing me? See, we're talking about right now falling away. We still okay? When I look it up in the dictionary, it says moving from a high to a lower level. If you fall, you're moving from a higher level to a lower level. Are you going to be one that falls? Are you one that's falling away already because you're falling from a higher level to a lower level? Are you thinking with me now? Huh? It says falling is normally rapid. Without control. Are you going to be one that falls? Are you falling this morning? Have you fell? And it was rapid and it was quick and it wasn't planned. It wasn't on purpose and it was from a higher level. Are you falling from what you once was? Are you in the process of falling from the level that you was on, living for the Lord and moving for the Lord and going in the Lord and serving the Lord and working in them. Now you find yourself at a lower level quickly, not on purpose. See, falling is not because somebody pushes you. If somebody pushes you, they push you down. Falling only involves you. Falling only involves you. Others may throw you down. Others may push you down. Others may knock you down. But only you fall. Are you listening to me? When I look on about falling, hang with me now. Huh? Falling is caused. I looked up the reason. Causes for falling. Huh? Why people fall? Well, falling is caused by slippery condition. Walking in slippery condition. Are you listening to me? Where are you walking this morning? Where are you walking? Are you walking on slippery conditions? You know why they put these signs out, these little yellow signs that you trip over in the stores? And it says, danger, slippery, when wet. You understand why? Because it's dangerous. Because we don't pay attention and we don't think it through. And the next thing we know, we fail because we've been walking in slippery conditions. Everybody understand that? Do I need to go any in depth further for that right now. Let's look on. Difficulty with balance. One of the reasons that we fall is we have difficulty with balance. We don't balance out our spiritual life. Now, I know that they claim you ought to stay in the middle of the road. That's usually where I drive. You know, we can go too far over here in this ditch. Sometimes we'll overcompensate and we end up over in that ditch. So we don't balance out. Everybody still with me? But we don't balance our time. We don't balance our service. We don't balance our dedications. We don't do that. We live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Are you still following me this morning? Just want to give you some thoughts. It's all what I'm talking about is, are you going to be one? Sure you are. See, this is a Mother's Day message. Falling is caused by slippery conditions where we're walking. Falling is caused by difficulty with balance. Falling is caused by vision problems. Because we don't see where we're walking. We don't pay attention. How are you looking this morning? Are you following me this morning? Hear me now. The next one I thought very interesting. Falling is caused by clutter. Says that old people even fall by clutter. Worst things in a home is rugs that you trip over. Huh? That's what they tell you when you get old. Huh? If you don't believe that, try to walk on a walker with rugs. Well, you're all right if it's one big rug. The whole house called carpet. But if it ain't, if it's them throw rugs. Huh? Everybody understand? You trip over them. But yet, I found there's more clutter than that, than just a rug in our life. So are you going to be one this morning that falls because there's clutter in your life? Junk that don't need to be there. Clutter that ought to be put up in its place that don't need to be strung out in your life? Huh? What kind of clutter is around you? Are you going to be the one falling this morning? Are you? Falling is caused by carrying something incorrectly. By carrying something incorrectly. Anybody got any weights they carry? Do you know, I've been to all these safety meetings and I've never been on the safety squad. Believe it or not, I was on the first aid squad, but I never was on the safety squad. I caused the accidents and then doctor them up. But you know that if you don't carry something properly, you can even carry something that's more than you normally should carry if you carry it properly. You won't fall. But just grabbing something or just throwing something on you, trying to carry it the wrong way, you'll fall and cause damage. Did you know that? Do you know that you can't carry your load by yourself this morning? Do you know that you can't carry your burden by yourself? Do you understand that if you try to carry it yourself, it's incorrectly, and by carrying it yourself, you will fall? Huh? Are you listening to me? Interesting what you can get out of a dictionary. Huh? Falling is called simply not paying attention. Yeah, I understand that. Huh? You say, well, what are you falling from? Well, let me ask you, how many on purpose fall from prayer? How many on purpose fall from their Bible. How many on purpose compromise your priority? We don't do that on purpose. We fall. How many on purpose quit church? How many on purpose let the world take over? We don't do that on purpose. But we fall. And when we fall, things happen. Now, some of these little kids fall, and we'll giggle, and we'll say, honey, you hurt. And there's no big damage done. Let me get in a crowd of y'all, and me fall. Well, I'm going to knock people every which way. Right? Seriously. You know, it's the same way it is with the Lord. If I fall, I'm going to damage more people. If you're an adult and grown, you're going to damage more around you than just you if you fall. Everybody follow me? Now, are you going to be one of those falling away? See, the Lord's coming, and the Bible says that he ain't coming unless they be a falling away first. Well, we're sinning already. Because that's just the way it is. Then I think about, what about the passing along? Will you be one of them? Will you be one of the ones that pass the faith along? Like Eunice and Lois. Huh? They passed along to Timothy. But then I read all through the Bible about men and women who's passed it along. See, it wasn't just my mommy and my grandma, but it was my pawpaws and my uncles and but it was my neighbors, and it was the people I went to church with, and it was friends who's passed the faith along. I've had people that weren't no kin to me that encouraged me or tried to instill in me the things of God. Sunday school teachers and even school teachers. I had some wicked school teachers, I'm sure, but I had some godly school teachers. One of my favorite teachers of all time, as far as a godly person, is Roger Eads from Anstead. Roger Eads was my American history teacher. I loved him as a man. I loved his class. I made 100 all through. Every test, everything was a perfect score. I loved him. I loved his class. I love him today. I loved him before he was my teacher. I love him even today. If I see him out, I go to hug his neck because of the influence he made on me. Always a godly influence. Always. I'm praying for you, Marcus. He always called me Marcus. Never called me Mark. It was always Marcus. I'm praying for you, Marcus. I'm praying for you. Always. Huh? But he wasn't no kin. But he was passing along. Huh? There's people that we take time with, and do you understand that I'm taking time with you today to pass the faith along? You understand that? You understand that tonight I'll pass the faith along. Wednesday night I'll pass the faith along. Every time we're together, I try to pass the faith along by example or by word or by message or by lesson. And if I'm not, Brother Rick is. He's not, Brother Dennis is. Brother Butch Bacare, for 60 years, 50 years, he's passed the faith along, him and Linda, soul winning and teaching and preaching. And are you listening to me? I thought of Carolyn sitting here this morning, you know, and I'm not, she got a birthday coming up Saturday. But that ain't what I'm throwing this off at. But you realize that she was Cheryl's Sunday school teacher. I mean, Carolyn's been teaching for 60 years. She's been a Sunday school teacher for 60 years. Is that not amazing to anybody? For 60 years, she's been a Sunday school teacher. She's been passing the faith along, I think so. Don't you think? Huh? Think about it. There's people here, Trista. Your first Sunday school teacher was Carolyn. Your very first Sunday school teacher. Huh?
Ain't you glad that somebody wasn't kin to you? Passed it along. Ain't you glad? Are you listening to me? Are you willing to pass it along? You say, well, it's tough. Pass it along. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Y'all know me. I'm such a sports fanatic. Do you know that a quarterback spends his life doing what? Passing something along, right? Either handoff or forward pass. Am I right? Now, I don't know how you say this guy's name. He played for the Packers and the Vikings. I don't know if he played for anybody else or not. 20 years, Brent Favre or Favre. All right. Whatever. I was reading. Do you know that in 20 years he suffered 1,000 concussions? I bet he's nutted a fruitcake yet. One 1,000 concussions. You know why? Because he was constantly hit. But he kept passing. Kept handing it off. Kept passing it on. Huh? You know that you're going to get hit if you pass it along? You're going to get shook to the very foundation if you pass it along. But can I tell you, he probably got several million dollars tucked away somewhere. And I bet if you'd ask him there in his trophy room, is it worth passing along? I bet he'd say, oh, yeah. What's the concussion? Huh? Right? Right? Can I tell you that it's worth passing along? Because I'm sure that there's some little boys and little girls somewhere along the line that had on a jersey with his name. I bet they were some older people that went to the ball game that they had on his name on their jersey, and they just went to watch. You know why? Because of what was passed. Is everybody okay with me this morning? I'm trying to preach a Mother's Day sermon. I really am. Father's Day too, but we ought to be passing along instead of being a falling away. And I wonder this morning, which one will you be? See, to pass along, I looked up what it means to pass along. And it says here, to move in a special direction. To move in a special direction. Are you moving anybody in a special direction? Are you passing along to get them to go in a special direction this morning? Yes, you are. Yeah, that's what we want, right?
Yes, sir.
Or are you falling away? Pass along, it says it's the act of giving something for future use. The act of giving something for future use. Huh? It may not be for you, but there's somebody a following. What are you going to be this morning? You going to be a falling away? Or are you going to be a passer on? What you going to be this morning? I'm glad that I had a mama and a daddy that passed it along. Did they fumble? Many times. Sure. Sure they fumbled. I've tried to pass it along to my boys. Did I fumble? Well, let's just say I'd have never played pro ball. Fumbled a lot. Are you hearing me this morning? what I had a goal for was to pass along. I've had to be careful. Because of my condition, physically, I've got to be very careful in how I walk. I got to pay attention to my surroundings. I've got to be very careful to my footing. I can't go where others go. I can't do what others do. Because my footing is not good enough to withstand what may come. So I've got to guard my footing. Sometimes my stand is tough. If you ever notice, if I stand very long, it ain't long before I'm looking for something to lean on. I can't stand there very long. I gotta kind of just reach my hand out. I might be a little bit more stable. Because I realize I can't stand by myself. Are you following me this morning? See, I'm not in this alone. And I can't. But boy, I can with Him. See, there's times, you may not know, there's times that I have to be assisted to dress myself. There's times I have to be assisted to cleanse myself. Because I'm not able to do it. But I have one that's close to me at the house, all close. She's never, ever told me, I ain't helping you. And she's helped me bathe, shower. She's helped me put the right clothes on. And that's physical. But see, it goes deeper than that. I've got someone the same way spiritually. That I can't cleanse myself. And I can't put on the right clothes. I've got to have help. Are you listening to me? See, it started that way when I was just a little baby. And my mama cleansed me and changed me and dressed me right. I first started preaching. She went and bought me dress shirts and ties. For years after that, my birthday, she would buy me a shirt and a tie. Because she always said, now you got to look good. She always wanted me to be right. But see, I got somebody else this morning. That's always wanting me to be dressed just right. Clothed just right that others may see what I am. So we've got a choice this morning. We okay? To either be a falling away or a passer on. I believe maybe we ought to be a passer on. Be careful. Be careful. Sometimes a fumble will lose the game. We've got to be so careful. We okay? Father, I've tried to give simply just a thought. Lord, I'm glad for the examples and the commands to contend for the faith and for the examples that it works with Lois and Eunice and Timothy and And Lord, I'm glad that the Scriptures are still true and makes us wise even in the salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us this morning to determine to be passer-ons. God, help us. If we're on slippery ground, we're going to fall away. Father, I pray that everyone may make a self-examination to see, to make sure they don't fall. In Jesus' name, amen.